Why is it so hard for people that have a lot of this information? Maybe they have the intellect, and maybe they even know everything you talk about. Maybe they've even studied it. But why is it so hard for them to get into the emotional part of the healing process?
Well, I mean, you just said it. They've defended themselves through intellectualization, which is all about shame. When we intellectualize a problem, it's a self-protection mechanism against, pretty severe childhood shame. Again, it's protecting the parents. I don't want to go there. I don't want to get into truth of what I experienced. So I'm going to intellectualize it. John Bradshaw talks about that in his book. What is it? Sh The Shame That Binds, or Healing the Shame That Binds. Great book. That he confesses that's, his way of hiding his shame is to intellectualize everything. I do that too. I love getting caught up in, all the theory of all this stuff too. Because I also have that mantra of childhood. So, do you see why I would intellectualize it? Do you remember we talked earlier what my biggest judgment of other people is? That they're what?
Stupidity.
Stupid. So of course I would create a maladaptive coping skill of trying to be smart, so I don't have to feel the shame of how absolutely stupid I am. Now
That's
I've
what you call
reconciled that. But now I've reconciled, yes, at times I'm very stupid. And no matter how smart I ever get, I will still make stupid decisions because I'm human and limited. I'm also not, in the same token, I'm not stupid. So in other words, I'm both. I can live in both and accept both sides. I don't have to splinter it off. And so the person who's intellectualizing it, who understands it all, has read it all, but can't embody it, they've just set up a really complicated, smart, intellectual process to avoid really core pain that's very simple. But it makes them feel so simple and small and possibly stupid that they come over top of it with the polar opposite to try and make themselves not feel how small and insignificant. Wait, let me say it differently. To come over top of the direct and indirect messages and behaviors which they embodied it as, I am small, insignificant, and don't matter. That's what they're protecting, is how big that wound is. And so that's why they know it all, but can't feel it all. It's too big. And so they would, and most of the other piece to that is, they're not using a deep enough process. They're not.
What can they do then? Like, if they're stuck in this, maybe they even know it. What can they do to help?
Well, I know this. If that's where they're stuck, they haven't been through, they don't know emotional mastery, because that'll break you like that. Like in a couple of days. I mean, those
How
first three.
so? Like, what do you mean?
Oh, remember with you? Remember when you first started tracking your feelings? You broke open like that. Remember how you were just like texting me, Kenny, oh, like, what's going on?
Yeah,
And
share a little bit about that, because I'd love to hear your side of that story. Because I don't necessarily remember it the same way, and I think it would be valuable for your audience.
okay, well, your defenses were pretty, by your own admission, were pretty high. Well, remember the times we'd have Zoom calls and there wasn't any video and you had to mute it. Because
Yeah,
you
I
were.
muted myself so you wouldn't hear what was going on with me when I was laughing, when I was crying, things like
You
that.
were breaking up emotionally.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you, it was, you weren't really in control of yourself emotionally and didn't know how to process it. It was too big. And so you couldn't decipher, am I being appropriate or not? I better not let anyone see this because I don't know what's, it's too big for me. I'm
Yeah.
not comfortable with it yet.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah,
And
I
so
remember.
you would share pieces, but it, you know, there was a long time I didn't know that you were muting yourself. I just thought you were listening. I had no idea. Well,
Yeah.
you started to tell me, and then you text messages, hey, I'm going through this. What is this? Like, well, it didn't, like, that's a thing. Just track your feelings 3 to 5 times a day. Grab that feelings wheel off my site for free or take my free course. Track your feelings. Man. What am I feeling? Where in my body do I feel it? What's my first memory? And your life, that first day, your life will change. You'll be aware of so much stuff you know. And then you try it for 30 days. You're, one of your other questions was something about authentic self and, you know, us knowing, thinking we know who we are. You'll find out real quick. There's a whole side of you you've never investigated. Now that what's so heartbreaking to me is that scares most people. They're like, oh, and they don't know why it scares them. Well, that's the worst day cycle, the shame and denial portion, because specifically shame. When they hear me talk about how their life is going to radically change and they're going to find something completely new about themselves, that triggers two fears. One, wait a minute. No matter what my age is, that means I'm stupid. I'm inadequate. I don't know who I am. That means I'm a fraud. I don't want to admit that about myself. Now, why don't they want to admit that self? Because of the underlying shame from their parents who sent the message, you're a fraud, you're not good enough. So they're reliving it right there, just in that fear reaction over it. They're reliving childhood trauma. They don't even know that. That's what their fear is of the messages they got sent that I'm inadequate. Because a child is born with inherent worth and value, and they know it. They know it. That's why they smile so much. That's why they're all peacocks. Because they're just, I am so beautiful. Look how naked I am. Aren't I pretty? Look, there's no shame. Shame is learned. So that response of fear of, oh my God, I'm going to find out who I am. No, I can't. That's learned from your parents. So that's the first thing is I don't want to admit that I don't know who I am. And then even deeper is, wait a minute, I've developed this false persona, this fraudulent me. And it's not that you're fraudulent. You're doing the best you can with where you are.
The
It's just,
actor, so to say, the active.
sure, I'm not great at picking. I'm terrible at picking bubblegum pop phrases that make people feel. I just don't live in that world. Yeah, I don't manipulate language like that because it's so disingenuous and hurtful. There's nothing wrong with being a fraud. We're all a fraud at times. That's just truth. There's nothing wrong with having false personas. We all have like it's, but we don't teach truth, so we have to create all these nice phrases that make people feel good. They're all manipulative and they're not kind and loving
The
because they're
sugar
not.
coating, you mean? Like the
Yeah,
sugar coating.
they're trying to hide all this pain through that false positive friendly word, you know, and that's not helpful. It's not loving. Deceit.
Let me say something real quick. I see now more than ever why you say it's not helpful and why that is. Because,
And remember how you used to fight me for that.
well, here's the thing. I realize now that the sugar coating feeds denial. Because when you say the word fraud, there's obviously shame, and reality enters with shame, right? And so it's like, no. You have two options: going to no, sugar coat that for me so I could have eat it like a candy, or say fraud so I could.
And that's the shame and denial portions of the worst day cycle. That's what's killing everybody. Shame of, I can't admit that I'm a fraud. And that's the first part of shame. The second part of shame is, wait a minute, I became a fraud to get attachment to my parents, which I need to survive. I'll die without it. So if I drop my fraudulence, it means I lose all connection to them. Well, I already, even if I won't admit it to myself, but the fact that I'm questioning whether I should take any of this on proves my parents shamed me and I had to detach from my authentic self. Those two are so big. We go into denial. We create sugary words, all of these self-deceptive techniques. So I don't have to be into truth of who I am and what I experience. I don't have to face me. And that's why, you know, I've developed all of this. One, the worst day cycle. So you can see this is how you find how fraudulent we all are. All of us. Pick any person in just a couple of questions. I could blow up their whole vision of themselves. And it's not me personally, it's the process. It does it to everybody. It exposes any person on the planet that, oh my gosh, I am detached from myself. That's what makes it so powerful. And then you have to get into the authentic self cycle of truth. Yes, I'm a fraud. And isn't it beautiful? Mm-hmm. Take responsibility, healing, forgiveness. And you do that through the emotional mastery process. And so, you know, that's the thing.
There are many times when what you're saying right now, the word fraud can be just what you have to do at a certain moment to survive.
Life saving.
Yeah, to make ends meet. Fraud can be pretending with a little white lie, or it could be pretending in any sort of fashion to protect somebody from any kind of pain. Maybe in that moment it wasn't a good time, right, for it. We all have good reasons for it. So in many ways,
yes,
we are doing the best through the fraud, right?
Because they're filled with shame, they hear it as me denigrating, which is about them, not me. I'm offering a lifeline. I'm offering compassion, but you won't see what I'm offering unless you do the work.